Welcome to HN Pod, your daily dose of the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah.
And I am Mike. Today is Tuesday, March 31st, 2026, and we are looking back at the top stories from yesterday, March 30th. This is episode number 351, and we have a really fascinating lineup today.
We really do. We will be talking about GitHub Copilot sneaking advertisements into pull requests, a deep dive into the shocking amount of spyware in official U.S. government apps, and why Philadelphia courts are suddenly banning smart glasses.
Plus, we will look at a great philosophical piece on why you should not let AI do your writing for you, and we will wrap up with a classic hacker tutorial on how to turn literally any old computer into a network router.
Lots of AI, lots of privacy, and some good old-fashioned hardware hacking. Let us jump right into it.
Our top story yesterday blew up on the front page with nearly 1,500 points. A developer asked GitHub Copilot to fix a simple typo in a pull request description. Copilot fixed the typo, but then it appended a promotional message for itself and an integration with the op Raycost.
Yeah, the author of the post was understandably furious. They wrote that this is horrific and a classic sign of platform decay. You know, first a platform is good to its users, then it abuses them for business customers, and finally it just extracts all the value for itself.
The Hacker News comments on this one were wild. A user named Plastic041 pointed out that Microsoft actually considers these to be tips, not ads. And apparently there are over 1.5 million of these Copilot tips sitting in GitHub pull requests right now. They promote integrations with Jira, Slack, Teams, and in this case, Raycast.
What is really crazy is that someone from the Raycast team actually chimed in on the thread. They had absolutely no idea this was happening until they saw it on Hacker News.
Which is a huge problem for them. A lot of commenters were saying that if they had not read the thread, they would have assumed Raycast paid for this spam and would have boycotted the app entirely. It is causing real brand damage to a third party just because Microsoft decided to use user pull requests as free billboard space.
Exactly, Mike. Some commenters were even suggesting Raycast should send a cease and desist. It really brings up that old Microsoft reputation. People in the thread were bringing up the antitrust lawsuits from 25 years ago and the whole embrace, extend, and extinguish philosophy. Even though Microsoft has changed a lot, shoving Copilot into every possible crevice of their ecosystem is really rubbing developers the wrong way.
Speaking of things rubbing people the wrong way, let us pivot to our next story. It is an investigative piece by Sam Bent titled Fedware, 13 Government Apps That Spy Harder Than the Apps They Ban. This one got almost 500 points, and it is honestly a little terrifying.
Terrifying is the right word. The article looks at the permissions and trackers embedded in official federal apps. For example, the new White House app, which is basically just a glorified RSS feed for press releases, asks for precise GPS, fingerprint access, and it ships with three embedded trackers.
And the kicker? One of those trackers is the Huawei Mobile Services Core. Yes, the same Chinese company the U.S. government heavily sanctioned and banned from telecom networks is somehow providing tracking infrastructure inside the sitting president's official app.
You cannot make this stuff up. A commenter pointed out the sheer irony of the executive branch deciding a company is so dangerous that citizens cannot buy their hardware, but then embedding their software development kit into the official White House app. Most people in the comments agree this is likely just staggering incompetence by whatever contractor built the app, rather than active malice. But it is still a massive security oversight.
It does not stop there, though. The official FBI app has four trackers, including Google AdMob. So the FBI is serving you targeted ads while reading your phone state. The FEMA app asks for 28 different permissions just to show you weather alerts. And the Customs and Border Protection ops are harvesting massive amounts of biometric data and keeping face prints for up to 75 years.
The article also touches on how the government is using these apps and data brokers to bypass the Fourth Amendment. Instead of getting a warrant for location data, agencies like the FBI, the DEA, and the Department of Defense are just buying it from commercial data brokers who scrape it from everyday apps like weather and coupon apps.
The Hacker News community was feeling pretty cynical about this one. The consensus is that we are building a massive surveillance apparatus and people are just willingly downloading it. It is a stark reminder to audit the permissions on your phone and really think about whether you need to install that official government app when a mobile website would work just fine.
Well, keeping with the theme of surveillance and privacy, our next story is about the Philadelphia court system. Starting next week, the First Judicial District of Pennsylvania is banning all smart and AI-integrated eyeglasses from their buildings.
This includes things like the Meta Ray-Bans, which have become incredibly popular. The article noted that Meta and Oakley sold something like 7 million pairs in 2025. The courts are doing this to protect witnesses and jurors from intimidation, since these glasses make it incredibly easy to discreetly record video and audio.
If you get caught bringing them in, you could be arrested and charged with criminal contempt. And what is interesting is that this is not just inside the courtroom where recording is already banned. This is a blanket ban for the entire courthouse building.
The Hacker News discussion on this took a really interesting turn. Instead of just talking about the glasses, the community started debating courthouse security in general. A user named Plork shared a story about their local county wanting to add audio recording to the security cameras in the courthouse hallways.
Right, and the problem with that is that defense attorneys often use those hallways for brief, private conversations with their clients because there are not enough private rooms available. If the cameras have microphones, it completely compromises attorney-client privilege.
The county promised they would not use the audio or release it in public records requests. But as one commenter pointed out, parallel construction is a real thing. Even if the audio isn't admissible in court, law enforcement could use what they overhear to find other evidence.
It is a fascinating tension. On one hand, the courts want to ban smart glasses because they are afraid of the public secretly recording the proceedings. On the other hand, the courts themselves are increasingly blanketing their own buildings in high-definition audio and video surveillance. It feels like a very asymmetric application of privacy rights.
Let us shift gears a bit to a great blog post by Alex Woods titled, "Don't Let AI Write for You." It got over 400 points and really struck a chord with the Hacker News crowd.
It really did. Alex makes a compelling argument that the goal of writing is not just to produce a document. The goal is to increase your own understanding. When you sit down to write a technical spec or a product requirements document, you are forcing yourself to structure your thoughts and conquer the unknown.
I love the analogy he used. He said letting a large language model write for you is like paying somebody to work out for you. Sure, the workout gets done, but you do not get any stronger. Writing is supposed to be uncomfortable and effortful because that is how you build your cognitive muscles.
He also touched on the social aspect, which is so true. When someone sends me a document that clearly has that distinct AI tone, it actually damages their credibility. It tells me that they didn't wrestle with the ideas themselves. They just asked a chatbot to generate something that sounds vaguely professional.
Exactly. Now, Alex is not saying AI is useless. He points out that large language models are great for research, checking your work, or brainstorming ideas. If an AI generates 10 ideas and 9 are garbage, no harm done. You just take the good one. But for the actual act of synthesizing information into a coherent narrative, you have to do that yourself.
The Hacker News community is definitely feeling AI fatigue when it comes to reading generated text. There's a strong sentiment that if you couldn't be bothered to write it, I can't be bothered to read it. It's a good reminder that in an age where generating text is virtually free, authentic human thought is becoming the ultimate premium commodity.
All right, let's wrap up today with a really fun, classic Hacker News post. The title is "How to Turn Anything into a Router," written by Noah Bailey. It pulled in over 600 points.
The author mentions some strange new American policy banning the import of consumer routers, which seems to be the fictional or real catalyst for the post. But the meat of the article is a fantastic technical walkthrough on how to homebrew a router out of literally any old computer.
Noah shows off this incredibly janky setup he used in college. It was a trash-kicked ThinkPad T60, an express card to PCIe bridge, a random Ethernet card missing its bracket, and a broken D-Link router acting as an access point. And it worked perfectly.
I love seeing setups like that. The tutorial walks through installing Debian Linux, configuring the network interfaces, setting up a wireless access point with host ATD, managing DNS and DHCP with DNS mask, and configuring the firewall with NF tables. It is a great reminder that commercial routers are really just small, specialized Linux computers.
The comments were a total nostalgia trip. People were reminiscing about the late 90s and early 2000s when they would build routers out of old 100 megahertz Pentium desktop computers. Someone mentioned following the old Linux IP masquerading how-to guide to get their whole apartment building online.
A user named Delensky also chimed in to plug a script they maintain called CreateAP, which wraps a lot of this configuration into a single command line tool. It is super useful if you need to quickly spin up a test network for reverse engineering Internet of Things devices.
What is great about projects like this is that they demystify the black boxes we use every day. When you build a router from scratch, you actually understand how network address translation works, how pockets are forwarded, and how your home network actually functions under the hood. It is the perfect weekend project if you have an old mini PC gathering dust in a closet.
That is so true. I might have to dig out my old laptop this weekend. Well, that is all the time we have for today's episode of HN Pod.
Thank you so much for tuning in. We hope you enjoyed diving into the top Hacker News stories from yesterday, March 30th, with us.
If you want to read any of the articles or join the discussions, you can find them on the front page of Hacker News. We will be back tomorrow with more of the best tech, startup, and hacker culture news.
Until then, keep hacking, do your own writing, and check your pull requests for hidden ads. Have a great day, everyone.